Well, hello everyone. Today I'm going to be reading my last Substack piece, which was called Against Vibes, Against Cope, Against Captive Dreams. I'm doing this because last time I read a Substack piece, which was about a month or so ago, it went down well and people said they would like it to be a regular feature. And also because I don't really want this this little episode that I'm going to be covering to fade from your memory too quickly. You know, the biggest enemy of slop is what happened 2 weeks ago. They rely on everything moving on. Everybody's moved on to something else, to the new current thing, etc. I just like to remind people about what happened only a couple of weeks ago, okay? This was really an article about the H-1B hullabaloo that happened over Christmas with Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. And there's been actually a few developments since then. There were these couple of clips of Donald Trump doing the rounds. The first clip was from 2016, and then the second clip was his comments just before the new year. Let's play them back to back.
The H-1B very well, and it's something that I frankly use, and I shouldn't be allowed to use. We shouldn't have it. Very, very bad for workers. And second of all, I think it's very important to say, well, I'm a businessman, and I have to do what I have to do, and it's sitting there waiting for you, but it's very bad. It's very bad for business in terms of it's very bad for our workers, and it's unfair for our workers, and we should end it.
Why'd you change
your mind on H-1B?
I didn't change my mind. I've always felt we have to have the most competent people in our country. We need competent people. We need smart people coming into our country. We need a lot of people coming in. We're going to have jobs like we've never had before.
But sir, you changed your position.
You plan to go to the Carter funeral next?
Now, it's been interesting watching the responses to all of this. I have to say, in all my years of being on social media, of being on YouTube, I have never seen such a cascade of cope. And, well, I can't use the language I would like to use because, like I said, I'm here on YouTube. But, you know, here are some of the stages that I saw. You know, first of all, there was faith that Trump wouldn't support Musk. Then when the media reported that Trump was going to support Musk, there was the, oh, well, it's the mainstream media. The story is fake. It hasn't been verified. Trump hasn't said it. Then there was this clip that came out. Then there was like, well, oh, the clip is fake. The clip is fake. I genuinely saw people trying to explain away the clip that you just watched saying it's fake. Then there was, okay, maybe it's real then, but it was just some offhand remark. He didn't really mean it. Let's see what he actually does after the 20th of January. And then the final stage of cope, or the penultimate stage of cope, should I say, is, okay, it's real, but the important thing is illegal immigration. Anyway, H-1Bs aren't really a big deal. And I saw that comment plenty of times on my own YouTube video last week when I talked about this. But surely the final and ultimate stage of cope is here by Captive Dreamer, who is also the subject, as you'll see, of the Substack article, where he was like, well, okay, it's real, but we need to send more money to Ukraine, okay? Martin, ever the, you know, forward-thinking political strategist, is shifting forward now to the next thing and is gearing up to, you know, somehow justify being like sending money to Ukraine. Also interesting was what Elon Musk did after his initial lashing out. I think Musk is an interesting character. He obviously, despite being the world's richest man and a billionaire, etc., wants to be loved. Like, he desperately wants to be loved or thought of as, you know, Mr. Internet or something. And one of the things he did is he changed his name to Kekius Maximus. This only lasted a day or so, but it was so cringy and horrible to watch that. It was horrible watching the Ian Chung Lees and so on try to kind of, you know, play up how funny this was. just horrible all round to watch. It's embarrassing. You know, one of many reasons I'm not going to be posting, you know, on Twitter anymore. You know, I'm putting my videos up and things because some people like to watch there. God knows why. You should watch on YouTube. But, you know, it's it really is something. And then when that didn't work, when that went down like a lead balloon, Musk then started tweeting about the grooming gangs here in the UK. And, you know, he changed tack. He wanted to change the mood music, my vibes, right? And dutifully, everybody moved on from H1Bs and started talking about grooming gangs in the past week. Well, you know, interesting to say the least. So anyway, before we get going, I'm going to be reading the whole article shortly. I have to remind everybody, I do have a sale on at the moment, 25% off all courses, promo code SHORJAN. I'm not going to play the thing in full this week. If you want to see the whole video, go back last week and you'll get the beat and all the rest of it. And without further ado, let's read this article. All right, so this was put out on December the 29th on my Substack, The Forbidden Texts. If you're not subscribed to that, be sure to subscribe to that. Put a lot of my cutting edge material on there. A lot of the stuff I've done there is not available anywhere else. So it's well worth reading the whole back catalogue if you've never subscribed to it. You can also give me money on there. But honestly, the most bang for your buck is joining this channel because I've made the Forbidden Texts free. You know, there's nothing behind the paywall there, where there are thousands of videos behind the paywall here, or buying a course. So those are the two best ways you can support me. And also you get a lot back for your money in those two cases. But you can give me money on Forbidden Texts too, if you prefer to support on a different platform. Okay, so power is top down, democracy is an illusion. At best, one can say that this or that group of elites gets their friends elected. Power is never bottom up. It never comes as the result of a government-sanctioned street protest, a ratio, the fact you got 20,000 likes on Twitter, or because you red-pilled the normies. When I wrote The Populist Delusion a couple of years ago, it was to teach these fundamentals of power. Many thousands of people read this book, but alas, its lessons were not, in the end, internalized. Over the past year, we have seen the extent to which that has been the case, as the majority of the online right, essentially at this point, a club of borderline cheerleaders in miniskirts with pom-poms, revealed themselves to be little more than emotional children, branding those who pointed out that Trump was likely not going to give them what they wanted as quote-unquote doomers and black pillars who need to get into the crystal. The discourse is surely poorer now than it was 3 or 4 years ago. It is more crowded and less clear in its convictions. Intelligent and independent voices with a long history of accurate assessments on the political landscape were generally marginalized by more shrill and emotional voices who wish to utilize vibes and for us to buy into largely fictionalized and mythologized fantasies about what MAGA represents. As long-time readers of mine will know, I have never been under any such illusions. MAGA is the most liberal, pro-black, pro-gay, and therefore most authentically American movement in history. And if you're wondering, that links through to an older article of mine called MAGA as the Fulfillment of the Kali Yuga. And once you understood this, it would have been pretty easy to understand that Elon Musk and friends would be pushing for the true return to Fresh Prince, the restoration of the civil rights regime under the Rufo Reich, monitored by Mecca Bentham. And that links through to another old article of mine called The Rufo Reich and Mecca Bentham. This is what is, not what ought to be. All else is cope. Against the above analysis, let me introduce you to one of the best examples of this new worst of trends, captive dreamer, or to his supposed friend, Martin. Against elite theory, read The Accumulated Wisdom of How Power Works, derived from over five centuries of observation. The original elite theorist, of course, was Machiavelli, if you're not aware. Martin posits an entirely different theory of power. Let us call this theory of power the Twitter Anon Cope theory of power. Under this theory, people in power, let us say Elon Musk, J.D. Vance, and even Donald Trump himself, genuinely respond to concerns, hopes, and dreams of nameless people and deviate from what they really want to do because said people counter-signal them on the internet. But also, under this theory, such corrective counter-signaling is unnecessary most of the time because, you see, you should have faith that you have backed the right guys, our guys, when you voted for them. When our guys win, so we win. That's how it works. And we should all like winning. Martin majors in this second part of the equation, viewing himself not so much as a political analyst, but as a kind of morale officer, rallying and cajoling the faceless horde. What is important for Martin are not tangible results in this or that policy area, real results in the real world, but rather how people feel and how they express those feelings on social media. Martin, you see, is a kind of wizard, a transmuter to be specific, whose one magic spell is to take any situation, no matter how dire and how obvious a loss, and to try to spin it into a win. In Martin's world, what happened this past week was not that the world's richest man told most of the MAGA base to go and F themselves because they disagreed with his preference for using H-1B visas for foreign tech workers, or that he started banning and de-boosting his critics, or that Donald Trump promptly came out and supported him. No. This story, read what actually happened, is only believed by losers and blackpillers. In Martin's world, the story was that Elon Musk, in the face of mass resistance from brave Twitter anons, backed down. That the widely reported story about Trump backing him is fake news. And that those people who are now saying, look, we told you this 6 months ago, we told you this was coming, are in fact enemies because they lack faith and resolve in the face of adversity. So to recap, in plain English and without cope, the MAGA base is going to get the exact opposite of what it wanted. But if you point this out, you're the enemy because reasons. This sort of magical thinking has become endemic on the online and especially American right over the past year. This is only the latest and most visible in a long line of such episodes featuring Martin and those in his circle. For example, he has stated repeatedly words to the effect of, with Zionists you win. Despite claiming to be an anti-Zionist, Martin has seen it as his job to persuade people that Trump and his team, going all out in support of Israel, note, in reality, a loss, the Ben Shapiroification of MAGA, is an unalloyed win. On what basis did our modern Machiavelli make this calculation? Presumably, it is a trade-off. If money from the lobby and AIPAC and supporting Israel is what you must do to get into power in the USA, so be it, the reasoning goes. Give them their piece of the pie, the Israel bit, which does not really affect normal Americans anyway, and in exchange, you can get everything you want on the domestic front. Only, of course, it never, ever, and I mean ever works like that. As I've pointed out countless times, there is no trade-off. How it works is as follows. A big donor, whether it's a Zionist, a tech bro, or any other stripe of donor, gives resources, and in exchange, they get what they want. UDA voter, like the kids in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir. The costs of Trump, the cost to Trump of not going along with the H-1B visas or uncritical and blind Israel support is billions of dollars in institutional support. The cost to Trump of betraying his voters? None. This time it will be different. Get in the crystal, they will cry. To which I can only say, no, don't be silly. No, it won't be. Will this episode have drained energy and enthusiasm for populism in America or in Europe? I would not count on it. People will forget about it when the next news cycle comes along. That already happened, by the way. Everybody's talking about Rotherham again. And delude themselves again. And then they'll do it again and again and again after that. The populist delusion is one of the most thoroughgoing of all delusions. Trump could be mashing Martin's face in a pile of horse manure, and Martin would be tasting the little strains of hay and corn and tweeting about what a great taste in manure Trump has and what a win this was for the American people and how his followers too should wish to have their faces mashed in a pile of hot dung. This is winning in Martin's world because everything about Martin's world is virtual. He's entirely consumed by Baudrillard's simulation and engages almost totally in surrogate activities in lieu of real politics. Even now, I see people who should know better, people who basically never learn, busily double-thinking themselves into enthusiasm about how a confirmed charlatan and snake oil salesman, Nigel Farage, is going to save the day again. His recent social media run-ins with Kemi Badenoch are tired, fake, boring, and should have all the fanfare of one of those Netflix series that are pulled mid-season. Yet there they are, seal clapping in delight, like seven-year-olds watching pro wrestling. It is hard to tell if the excitement is genuine or feigned, but this past year I've moved rapidly to the conclusion that, yes, people are that stupid, and no, they will never learn. I have seen enough news cycle come and go to know that ultimately people cannot come good. The same people who fell for it last time and this time will fall for it next time too. As I've said for at least 2 years now, the dissident right does not exist. And I prefer not to be associated with the wider, quote unquote, online right, especially as it has dwindled into its current moronic form. The only labels I've ever been comfortable with are sensible center and postmodern traditionalist, but even these can be co-opted by people who do not understand them. In a time of universal idiocy, it is perhaps better to walk alone. This has long been the way of the truth teller. All right, folks, I hope you enjoyed that. Let me know what you think in the comments, and I will see you tomorrow for some British news. Remember to pick up a course at the Academic Agency, 25% off, promo code Shorjan. Let's get out of here. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the Academic Agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.